And a story we've been following all morning, a 24-year-old suspect who claims Al-Qaeda connections still holding police at bay inside a Toulouse apartment in France. He's believed to have murdered three French paratroopers last week and a rabbi and three children at a local school on Monday. The BBC is reporting that the head of the prison in Kandahar, Afghanistan, says Mohammed Murat, which is the name he goes by, escaped in a Taliban jailbreak there in 2008. The Frenchman had been sentenced to 3 years behind bars after his arrest for carrying bomb-making equipment.
And that story comes to us from David Loyne, who's a correspondent for our partner, the BBC, and reporting now from Kabul. David, is it too early at this point to get a response from Afghan officials about the suspect in France who escaped from prison in Afghanistan?
Hi, Celeste. Well, what we're getting is that Afghan intelligence are in direct contact with French intelligence, who are trying to get what they can from them about this this Afghan connection. It's understood that as well as Afghanistan, this man spent some time in Pakistan as well, and he was arrested here in 2008. Carrying bomb-making equipment, sentenced to 3 years in jail after a trial in Kandahar, and then escaped from jail in what can only be described as a spectacular assault by the Taliban in 2008. They sent in, I remember I was here at the time, I reported it, they sent in Taliban suicide bombers mounted on motorcycles. They used them really as artillery to blow off the gates of the jail, and then dozens of other Taliban appeared on motorbikes and put their comrades on the back and rode away. And several hundred Taliban and other prisoners escaped from Kandahar jail in the confusion then. And we have now had it confirmed that Mohammed Merah was one of those men.
But no confirmation on his claim that he is connected with Al-Qaeda?
Well, that's, I think, it has to be understood, does it not? I mean, here he is, a foreign fighter arrested with bomb-making equipment in southern Afghanistan. I mean, I think there is, if this is the same man, and the Afghans believe he is, and certainly it's a man by the same name, was doing things which felt as if they were Al-Qaeda-style operations in southern Afghanistan.
We're speaking with David Loyne, correspondent for our partner, the BBC, and he's reporting to us from Kabul. And this is actually connected with another story that you're reporting on today after Afghanistan, because this is the deadline today for foreign private security firms there to hand over to government forces. And until recently, there were 40,000 private guards employed in that country to protect foreign contractors and aid workers. And I understand, David, they'll be replaced by 6,000 Afghan government guards. Is 6,000 enough?
Well, there are 6,000 at the moment. I think between now and the time when this comes fully into place, and like a lot of these Afghan things, there is a decision made by the government. They hand it down. It's been a year until this deadline has happened, and now people are scratching their heads and saying, OK, so what does it actually mean? What do we do about it? I think what will happen is that many of those 30 or 40,000 private security guards will simply change uniforms, that you'll get the same man at the gates carrying an assault rifles, but he'll now be wearing an Afghan Public Protection Force uniform. That's this new force that's been set up by the Afghan state, rather than the uniform of a private security company. And this is not just a change for international private security companies. There's been a lot of controversy about them operating in Afghanistan. But this is also an attempt by the Afghan state to take on private security companies who are run by Afghan, big Afghan figures, warlords really, men left over from the Mujahideen wars, who've all set up these big companies and have got very rich on big international security contracts, protecting aid convoys, running protection for a number of different international organizations, this huge international presence that's been in Afghanistan for the last 10, now into its 11th year, this great presence of foreigners. And it's those companies that I think the government is targeting, as well as the foreign private security companies.
But why was President Hamid Karzai so upset about this if we're talking about Afghan citizens who are now going to keep the same job just under Afghan government control?
Well, I think it's about control of them. And of course, there has to be fears down the line about corruption, how much you're going to get charged for having this protection outside the gates of different aid organizations and foreign companies working here. But I think for President Karzai, it's a matter of pride. He's wanting to set up what feels like a normal country. Well, there isn't a normal country if there's a raging insurgency. If people need security, he wants it to be in registered Afghan hands rather than in the hands of foreigners or in the hands of these warlord militias who've been running private security companies. And there have been one or two high-profile incidents which have really galvanized public opinion against the foreign contractors. There was a road traffic accident a year or so ago here in Kabul, where some private security contractors, apparently driving the wrong way down a road, got engaged in an accident in which some people were killed. There were fatalities. And then it was reported, although denied by the Americans involved, but believed by the Afghans, that the Americans opened fire on a crowd who appeared to protest against them and killed some people in the crowd. So the Afghans got very angry about that kind of an incident, and it's very much something for President Karzai as a matter of national pride to take control of this. I have to say, the international community, although privately individuals you talk to are worried about this, the international community as a bloc have been very relaxed. U.S. embassy officials I've spoken to, USAID officials, say we will manage this. The embassy itself still has its own guards. Diplomatic missions are exempt, but the USAID operations are not exempt. But there's 18 or so of them have already come under the protection of this new Afghan force, and they say that it's working quite well, and they don't foresee any major problems.
Obviously, this comes this is happening at a pretty tense time in U.S. and Afghan relations, especially with the accusations against Staff Sergeant Robert Bales. He's the U.S. soldier that's accused of killing 16 Afghan civilians, and including 9 children. And, of course, earlier weeks ago, the accidental burnings of the Quran at a U.S. airbase. Does this handing over of responsibility with the security firms do anything to kind of touch that resentment there?
It's been a pretty dreadful couple of weeks. You're absolutely right, Celeste. And certainly President Karzai, the last time we saw him in public, and there was a BBC correspondent, one of my colleagues, was in the room last Friday when he met tribal elders from the south, from that area where this U.S. sergeant apparently shot all these people last week. He met tribal elders and tried to pacify them. And at the time, he spoke very angrily. And you can understand that in the presence of these individuals from the region. He spoke publicly very angrily about the international presence and made some very strong comments saying that all American troops should be just withdrawn to their base now. Now, of course, that's entirely unrealistic, and Afghan forces are not ready to take over. But I think it does put more political pressure on the U.S.-Afghan relationship. And we're hearing that there are arguments within the presidential palace about this. There are some people saying he's getting too hard on the Americans, and he's got to realize that Afghan forces are not yet ready to take full security. But it'll be a couple of years when U.S. and other combat forces are not out on the streets, and Afghanistan will have to look after its own security.
David Loyn, correspondent for our partner, the BBC, reporting from Kabul. Thanks, David.
Thanks.